by. Good day, and welcome to the Live the Wage Challenge conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Brad Woodhouse, President of American United for Change. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you, Orlando. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Let me jump right into this. As you know, we called this press conference for 10-10, obviously for a reason. The folks on this call and the coalition that have mounted this Live the Wage Challenge have been fighting, as has the president, to raise the federal minimum wage to 10-10. As I'm sure folks are well aware, this Thursday, July 24th, will mark the five-year anniversary since the last time Congress gave minimum wage workers a raise. And while the minimum wage has been stuck at $7.25 an hour, the price of basic living expenses never really stopped going up. And that's why you see more and more Americans slipping into poverty, even as they work full-time. And Americans agree. I mean, we've polled on this. Americans agree. It is absolutely unacceptable for someone working full-time, especially for someone supporting a family and working full-time, to live in poverty. Unfortunately, Republicans in Congress insist that the status quo is adequate, that it's acceptable. You know, we even have some in Congress and some campaigning to get into Congress who say get rid of the minimum wage altogether. They ascribe to a Koch brothers philosophy that we should have no minimum wage, either at the state or at the federal level. The truth is we all know that we need a minimum wage. We all know the history of why we need a minimum wage, and we don't need it stuck at the minimum that it is today. And today we're issuing a challenge to those in Congress who oppose raising the minimum wage. Step into the shoes of a minimum wage worker and live the wage for 1 week, to get by on just $77 in 1 week. $77 represents the weekly wages of a full-time minimum wage worker minus average taxes and average housing expenses. And so we're asking you, live the wage, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and all of you others that insist that the current minimum wage is adequate or that we don't need a minimum wage at all. I'm honored to be joined on the call today by former Governor Ted Strickland of Ohio, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio, and Heather Holstein, a low-wage worker from Chicago, Illinois. Governor Strickland, Congresswoman Schakowsky, Congressman Ryan, Congressman Keith Ellison, who could not join this call, and many others have agreed to take this challenge. Now, Heather Holstein lives this challenge every single day. So we appreciate all of those organizations and leaders like those on this call who are participating in this challenge. 66 national organizations representing faith, labor, and the progressive community have been working on this, have worked up to this day where we launched this. And so we have folks on this call that are going to do this, for a week. And here's the message I have for Senate Republicans who blocked the Harkin-Miller 10-10 bill in April, House Republicans who won't bring up an increase in the minimum wage and would rather spend their time shutting down the government, suing the president. Take the challenge. We dare you. Try it. If you insist that $7.25 an hour is enough for a family of four, if you insist that $7.25 an hour is enough for anyone to get by, then you take the challenge. Prove it. You take the challenge, John Boehner. You take the challenge, Mitch McConnell. Do what these leaders on this call are doing, and you take the minimum wage challenge, and then tell us that $7.25 is enough. So with that introduction, I want to move right into the speaking program. We're very happy to first be joined by former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland, who's also the president of CAP Action Fund. Governor Strickland?
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you and my former colleagues from the Congress. The fact is that today there are about 30 million Americans trying to live on the minimum wage, and they're in poverty. And the fact is that so many people here in Washington, D.C. are living in this bubble. They have no idea what life is like for many Americans who are out there struggling every day just to make ends meet, pay the bills, and feed themselves and their families. I'm in the second day of my minimum wage challenge, and I tell you, it's been tough these first 2 days. In fact, it's been a day and a half, and it's been really, really tough. You may be able to tell that I've got a cold. And so I went to my medicine cabinet, and I had Tylenol in there, and I had the nasal spray in there. And I was saying to myself, what if I didn't already have these in my medicine cabinet? The fact is, I probably wouldn't be able to afford this nasal spray, which I obviously need. This is a matter of common decency and fairness. And for people like me and many others who can buy whatever we need, eat whatever we choose to eat, we need to try to experience, at least for a week, what life is really like. And we can't do that totally, obviously. We'd have to change our entire lifestyles. But for those in Congress who oppose raising the minimum wage for working people, and I want to tell you, some of these people who make the minimum wage work harder than Mitch McConnell and John Boehner or any of the rest of us. They do work that we probably would not really want to do under any circumstances, and yet they make so little. So this is a week of challenge. It's a time to try to sensitize ourselves, and hopefully those who oppose increasing the minimum wage would be willing to try to experience in some little way for a brief period of time what it's like to actually have to live on $77 a week. And so that's why I'm participating. I don't know if I'll be successful. I'm trying, but at least those of us who are engaged in this effort will be able to experience at some level what it must be like for people who live week after week and month after month, working really hard and just struggling to keep their nose above the waterline. And that's what this challenge is all about. And I would encourage every Republican who would oppose increasing the minimum wage to at least do this for 7 days so that they can experience, walk for a little bit in the shoes of those who work hard and make so little.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Governor Strickland. With that, let me turn it over to someone who needed no coaxing to do this, and who I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman Joskowski, has participated in the food stamp challenge in the past, and who's participating in this and has shown so much leadership on this issue and other issues affecting working families, U.S. Representative Jan Joskowski.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Governor. And I'm so happy to be with my colleague Tim Ryan. And Heather, thank you for being on this call and sharing with us your experience. My husband and I are going to be doing the Live the Wage Challenge starting on Thursday morning. That means $77 times two, $157 for both of us, for all of our food, transportation, personal care products, whatever, entertainment. Oh, I doubt that there'll be much of that. And I've been working hard with my colleagues to raise the federal minimum wage of $7.25, which, as you heard, hasn't been increased in 5 years. The tipped wage, that's for the tip workers, people who are supposed to be able to make, even more than the minimum wage because of their tips, the tip minimum wage is $2.13, and it hasn't been increased for over 20 years. So raising the minimum wage to $10.10 would raise wages for nearly 28 million workers, and it's not just about helping minimum wage workers and their families. It's also going to make our economy better because these folks are going to go out and spend that money. One way to increase support for raising the minimum wage and tipped wages is to bust some of the myths that are out there about the minimum wage workers. These are not jobs for teenagers looking for summer employment. Here are the facts. The average age of affected workers is 35 years old. Over one-third are at least 40 years old. Two-thirds of all workers paid the minimum wage are women, and nearly three-quarters of tipped workers are women. 28% have children, 55% work full-time, 44% have at least some college experience. And a woman working full-time, year-round, at the federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour, her grand total for the year is going to be $14,500. And that's more than $4,000 below the poverty line for a family of three. But many hardworking men and women I've met in Chicago and elsewhere aren't even offered full-time work. They're working two or three jobs, and they're struggling to take care of their families and pay for transportation and pay for their rent. And they're waking up every morning and going to bed at night worrying about how they can afford to meet their expenses and how they'll be able to find any extra room in their budget if their child breaks a bone or even needs new shoes. So the Live the Wage Challenge is a powerful way to build support for raising the minimum wage, and the approach is simple. Members of Congress, policymakers, and others walk in the shoes of a minimum wage worker, even if for only a week. And it does give us a taste of what it's like to try to live on a minimum wage. It's designed to make us more sensitive to the challenges of living on a minimum wage. And as someone, as Brad said, who has taken the food stamp challenge three times now, I can tell you there is no substitute for experience. Even yesterday, I was in the grocery store getting ready for this, bringing some things. They're going to be, so these sweet potatoes I bought are going to be in my suitcase. But I used the scale for customers to make sure that I was buying just the right amount that was going to be within the budget for the week. So it took me longer to shop. I took things off the shelf. I put them back. And I'm hoping that more of my colleagues will take the challenge, especially the House Republican leadership that's going to decide whether and when to give us a vote on H.R. 1010. A vote, by the way, that if called, it will pass. We will be able to raise that minimum wage if we were to get a vote. So after they would do it, I believe it would be hard for anyone to deny the importance of moving quickly to raise the minimum wage. That's why I'm doing it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Congresswoman Schakowsky. And I want to remind people that you should take a look at this. Your organizations, your reporters, please send this up to Mitch McConnell and John Boehner. Visit livethewage.com, www.livethewage.com. Thank you, Congresswoman Schakowsky. With that, let me turn it over to someone who has spent a career looking out for the interests of working families, U.S. Representative Tim Ryan from the great state of Ohio. Congressman Ryan?
Thank you. Let me also say thanks to my colleagues, my friend and former Governor Strickland and Jan Schakowsky, who have been amazing leaders in trying to raise awareness. I, too, joined Jan in the Food Stamp Challenge, and I think it's important for those of us who are in these leadership positions that get elected by our constituents to represent their views from time to time, take a challenge such as this to make sure that we really are not just understanding this in an intellectual way, but really understand the deep challenges that people face, again, who are working hard, playing by the rules, wanting to do what's best for their families. A lot of times our friends in the Tea Party movement or in the conservative political movement try to marginalize these men and women who work extremely hard and many jobs that those of us in Congress, or many people in Congress, wouldn't dare dream of ever doing. The people that clean the hotel rooms and make sure that our public facilities are clean, and these kinds of jobs are tough work. There's a lot of physical labor that go into it, which makes them more susceptible to injury and wear and tear on their own bodies. And a challenge like this is an opportunity, I think, for us to step into their shoes for a week. My family and I are also going to take this challenge and make the decisions that a minimum wage family would make. And as Governor Strickland said, we are still going to be a long way away from actually living the reality that many of these families live because our circumstances are different. But we do want to bring awareness to this issue. This is a major social justice issue in my mind. I think a lot of folks in Washington, D.C. who attend prayer breakfasts and weekly religious meetings, should take account that in most of our major religions in the United States and across the world, we have a deep respect for social justice and caring for the poor and the social gospel and all the rest. So this is an opportunity for us to put our money where our mouth is. I would like to make one additional point, because I think the facts on this issue economically have been obscured, and I looked with great interest at a report that came out on Friday where 13 states that raised the minimum wage as of January 1st of this year added jobs at a faster pace than those that did not. And I think this is beginning to lay the groundwork, and there are other studies as well, that putting money in the pockets of consumers is good for the economy. We are seeing an extreme levels of inequality in our society, where not just the top 1%, but the top 0.1% of the people in our country are just making amounts of money that it's hard to fathom for most people, which is fine. People work hard and deserve to make a living in America. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to make sure that those people who do put the time in, work hard, play by the rules, get a lift. And that's why increasing the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour is an essential, not one step, the essential step that needs to be taken over time to get it to that level so that people who are working hard don't live in poverty. And we have a federal minimum wage that's now at $19.98 buying power. Fortunately, there are some states that have indexed the changes for inflation and are seeing more growth. And that's the last point I wanted to make, is that this is good for the economy. This is good for economic growth and economic development. The folks who would see an increase in the minimum wage would have more money in their pockets. If you just think from 725 or 750 or whatever the number is in a particular state, for that in the next year or two to go up to 10 bucks an hour, a couple bucks an hour, 16 bucks a day, and multiply that by a week and a month, that's money for a new car or a new roof or something that needs to get done in your home, which is going to mean you're going to have to hire people to come do that or make the car. It ripples throughout the economy, as opposed to someone in the top 1% or top 0.1% they have everything that they already need. And so this broad social justice movement, increase in the minimum wage, would have benefits for our economy. And again, I'm grateful for all of the organizations who are involved in this to raise awareness. And I think we can have a push, because as was stated very early on, this has the public support. And to those folks who are on the minimum wage, we hear you, we're looking out for you, and we need your help politically to be engaged and registered to vote and active in the political system as well to help us make this change for you and your families. Thank you.
Congressman Ryan, thank you. And then let me turn it over to Heather Holstein. Heather is a low-wage worker from Chicago, Illinois. I'll let her tell her story, as you can imagine, Heather has only a few minutes. She's actually got to get off the phone, and she's got to catch a train, and she's got to go to work. But Heather, unlike all of us who are participating in this challenge for a week, Heather lives this challenge every day in an area of the country that many urban areas, that's very expensive. Prices are always going up, but unfortunately for Heather and others in her position, wages are not always going up. So with that, let me turn it over to Heather. Heather?
Hello. Good morning, everybody. I'm Heather Holstein, and like millions of other people in this country, I'm a low-wage worker, and I get paid hourly. I don't think that my current living situation is sustainable at all. There are many things about raising the minimum wage that concern me. Currently, I'm struggling with thousands of dollars of hospital debt. Both of my parents are on disability, so they are unable to help me. I have a sense of helplessness every day. Luckily, I do live with my boyfriend, who is able to cover a lot of our living expenses. And many people don't have that luxury, so I can't imagine not having him around to help, and that really scares me. I'm living paycheck to paycheck, so any bill could set me over the edge. Recently, last week, I became ill with a respiratory infection. I had to miss 3 days of work, so not only did I lose the pay, but I also had to pay money out of my own pocket to be seen by a doctor and buy myself medicine. Another way that I'm affected by the low wage is that my boyfriend and I would really like to get married. Weddings are expensive, and us getting married would also mean he'd have to take on my hospital debt, which I just don't think is fair to him. We'd also like to have kids, but we'd be unable to provide for them. Many of my fellow coworkers do have kids, and they struggle every day to take care of them and find a babysitter. Every person, I think, deserves a sense of independence in their lives, and for me, a big piece of that is getting a good education. I've worked hard and proud to say that I'm about to finish my associate's degree. I want to get my bachelor's degree, but the reality is that I just can't afford it. There are millions of others who are struggling, and some worse than me. I think that increasing the minimum wage would just provide another bit of relief. I wouldn't constantly have to worry if I could afford to go to the doctor or buy food for the week. Even an increase of a dollar an hour would make a big difference to me. I would be in a better position to pay off my hospital debt, finish school, and my boyfriend and I could start planning our life together. And what I can't understand is why some leaders in government won't do anything about this. It's not right that people working hard every day of every week can be in such a shaky situation. One bill could put me and millions of others over the edge. The people who are voting need to understand how hard this is and how much we are suffering. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Let me just say this. Heather's story is not unlike dozens and dozens of stories that we learned on our Raise the Wage bus tour, Americans United for Change, that we did with many of these organizations that are sponsoring this this challenge. People who, I remember a grandmother who had to mail all of the cards to celebrate all of the various milestones every year in one package because she couldn't afford postage to do it over the course of the year. And that may not sound important to Mitch McConnell or John Boehner, but that was really important to her, that she would like to send a birthday card when there's a birthday. I know that fortunately she had to send it one time a year. Just stories like that. And if you're not going to listen to these stories, then live the wage. And that's what this call is about. So with that, let's queue up questions from the media and from the media only.
Thank you. And if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take our first question from Sabrina Eaton with Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Hi, this is a question for Congressman Ryan. As Heather was just mentioning, babysitting and child expenses are kind of steep. And, I know what your child's situation is, so how are you going to be able to make do with that on the minimum wage? And as I recall, during the food stamp challenge, you also went off the rails for a little bit. So how are you going to deal with that? And then a second question is, why 10-10 for the wage?
You're right. One of the issues with traveling during the food stamp challenge is I was bringing peanut butter and jelly with me on my travels, and TSA ended up confiscating my food. So I think it just, shows some of the challenges for meeting this. And fortunately, my wife is a school teacher, so she's off this summer. So as far as childcare is concerned, that will be taken care of. And we just had a newborn baby, and she will be, using some of her sick time and family and medical leave, which is a whole other press conference and call about the importance of family and medical leave, and also making sure people can earn a living while they're taking care of their children, and they're all our children, I guess, at some level. And this is one step, I think, of raising awareness about the minimum wage, is just how difficult it is to work hard, keep your family out of poverty, but yet still meet what are the critical demands of attending to your family. And I hope that we're recognizing in America how critical these early years are for our children and for moms and dads to have time at home with their children at these very early stages, and how important that is for long-term, you know, mental and emotional and intellectual growth, and that's a priority. But also making sure that basic needs are met are also essential. We're seeing more and more studies come online that stress in families, stress in children, whether it's diet-related or some of the other issues that go along with raising a child in early age, are having adverse medical effects that maybe don't show up for 10 or 15 or 20 years. So it's essential. And I think as far as, so that's how we're going to handle it. We're very fortunate of our situation. And again, we're in no way a similar situation that most families are. This is an opportunity to try to gain some understanding of that and also raise awareness of how important it is for Heather and others that live in Northeast Ohio or in Ohio that are dealing with these issues. And I think 1010 is a number. I mean, again, I think getting us from where we are into making sure that people who work a full-time job can keep their family out of poverty. And 1010 gets us to that level, and also indexed for inflation, and hopefully can get add on to that, you know, the Affordable Care Act and people having health care. I think is an opportunity for us to say, hey, you work hard, you play by the rules, you're going to have health care, and you're going to be able to work and earn a living that pulls you out of poverty and get you on the road to working your way into the middle class. And I think 1010 achieves that goal, at least gets us a major step forward towards that goal.
Congressman, I'm going to have to jump off now. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Congressman Schakowsky.
I just wanted to ask: Tim Ryan's wife also going to be chipping in the $77? So you'll be living on the dual thing, just like Mrs. Schakowsky and her husband.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Orlando, next question, please.
And we'll go to George Nelson with the Business Journal.
Congressman, what impact has this already had for you? Governor Strickland already outlined a scenario where he's doing things differently than he would normally do. How has it affected you already?
Well, we've already started thinking about how we're going to have to shop differently. And my wife and I have already had that conversation about what we're going to have to buy. When I went through the food stamp challenge as a single man, I made some very critical, some really bad and poor decisions as I was trying to shop. I think now with the help of my wife, we're going to try to do a little bit better job as far as allocating our resources. So we've already started to have those conversations, and, you know, you realize that you're going to have to make some adjustments, and we'll be itemizing those as we do the shopping, and then keep everybody posted over the course of the week as to what we buy. But we already know that the grocery list is going to not look a whole lot like the one that we normally have.
As a follow-up, does having a newborn present a special challenge to you? I mean, obviously, babies have very specific needs.
Well, not to get too much into the personal situation, but my wife is breastfeeding, so we're going to make sure. But again, you have to make sure that we have a proper diet, or that she has a proper diet, so that the baby is taken care of from that end. And again, we've already purchased diapers and that kind of thing for the next several weeks and months. So like Governor Strickland, I mean, we already have medicine in the medicine cabinet, so to speak, and we already have diapers that are purchased, so we may not have to necessarily deal with that. But again, you see, that's what this is all about, illuminating those instances that we take for granted. Oh, yeah, we already have four boxes of diapers in the basement on storage, so we don't have to use our minimum wage challenge money to buy that. But what if we did? You know, do you go to cloth diapers, and what does that mean in that whole series of events? So that's what this is really about. Not to say that we're going to have to be able to do this to a T, but to illuminate those moments in our lives where the rest of us, in some sense, take that for granted. And so maybe that awareness can, you know, bring about some compassion from our society and legislators, hopefully, that can make these decisions to make the change that is necessary to try to provide some sense of relief for those hardworking Americans that are out there, you know, plugging away every single day to try to make ends meet.
Right. And
Orlando, next question. Go ahead.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, that is star one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And we have no further questions in the queue at this time.
Great. Well, let me say thank you to everybody who participated. I don't know if Governor Strickland, Congressman Ryan, or Heather have any closing comments they'd like to make. Governor Strickland?
And this is the operator. We do have one more question in the queue if you'd like to take that now.
Okay. Sorry, Governor Strickland. Let's go ahead and take this, and we'll make this the last question so Heather can get to work.
Okay, and we have Justin Mitchell from WFMJ.
Okay, it's actually Michelle Nix from WFMJ. When was the last raise in the federal minimum wage, if you know?
Well, it would have been that we're getting ready to celebrate the fifth anniversary, so it would be 5 years ago, coming up here on the 24th of July.
Okay.
5 years, yeah.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Governor Strickland, do you have any closing comments?
No, except, you know, except something that I think about often here in Washington, D.C. I said, you know, that I think a lot of people are living in a bubble up here. And, you know, you go to the nice restaurants and you see people eating their steaks and drinking fine wine, and they're probably spending as much in one evening as some families have to spend for an entire week or maybe even 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that's part of the problem. People just don't really understand what life is like for many Americans. And this challenge is an attempt to, you know, to try to help people have some small measure of understanding of what it means to be poor. So thank you for this.
Well, great, and thank you. Thank you, Congressman Ryan. Thank you, Heather. I would say I have a challenge to reporters on the phone, whether you're in a state or here nationally, and you are covering a delegation that includes Republicans who are opposed to increasing the minimum wage, or you're covering John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and the leadership here in Washington, call them up, explain the challenge to them, ask them if they'll participate in it, and if they say no, ask them why. And so that's a challenge to you and the media, who I think have been rather good about highlighting how important this is and how popular this is to the American people. But let's not let the day go by without hearing from John Boehner or Mitch McConnell about whether or not they're going to participate in this challenge, and if they're not going to, why not? So with that, we'll close this call. I would encourage everybody, as I said, to visit www.livethewage.com, and the leaders on this call and others that are doing this are going to, you know, write down their experiences, and, you know, maybe we'll do another call like this sometime, you know, after the fact. But we're going to keep pounding away at this this issue. It's critical for the American people. It's critical for our economy. And by the way, I think it's a big mistake for Republicans politically to continue to block this. So with that, we'll end this call, and I want to thank everybody for participating.
Thank you.